6:15. If you have need of a Bible, simply raise your hand. One of these fine gentlemen will hand one to you so you can follow along with us. Again, Acts chapter 15. We'll be picking up in verse 22, so we're at the second half of that chapter. Bible's open. Let us one more time ask the Lord to bless this as we pray. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for that song that we just sang, that Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And Lord, certainly want your Holy Spirit here present in the church. But God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be present in all of our lives, in our homes, in our workplaces. As we're going through life, I pray that we would be dependent upon and seeking after the heart of the Holy Spirit. And so as we come to you this morning, we ask that you would open up the scriptures to us, that we would hear your word, that we would receive your word, embrace your word, and then live out this word. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the book of Acts that just shows us how the early church got started, God. And I just pray that we would emanate these things and the desire to have these principles and instructions a part of each and every one of our lives. So we thank you for this time. We ask your blessings as we come. We pray against distractions, and we pray that our focus would be upon you. So bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, we all know in life there's good times and bad times. There's those ups and downs, high moments, low moments. And I imagine for most all of us in this room, we can easily look back at our past and see some of those areas in our lives where we just hold to those fond memories, those moments that God revealed to us or showed us, just blessed times. You know, maybe it's the day you got saved. Maybe it's the day you got water baptized. Maybe it's the day that, you know, you gave birth to your first child. Whatever those ups, those high moments are, those are always fond memories. But then there's also the lows. There's also those moments in life that are difficult, that are struggles. And I would hope as we look back on our past, we don't focus in on those, but we focus in on the things that God has done in our lives. Again, the ups and the downs are so important. And we have to make sure that we enjoy the good times so that when we come to those times of trial or difficulties, that we can look back and see the goodness of God and know that he's with us and know that he's going to carry us through. And I don't know where you are today right now. Maybe you're in a high moment. Maybe you're in a good season in your life. Or maybe you are struggling. Maybe you're in that place where you're going, Lord, help me get through this. We all have those. It's a fact of life that there's those ups and downs. And so as I've titled today's message, The Good, The Bad, and The Glory. Not the ugly. The good, the bad, and the glory. Because no matter what, the good times or the bad times, I believe we can always give glory to God. Amen? Always give glory to God, because it is those tough times, it is those dark days that help us see the presence of God in a stronger way and see him work in a powerful way. So I want to look at chapter, 15 of Acts, and we're going to pick up in verse 22. If I want to read this. Would you guys, if you can, could you stand with me as we read the word this morning? I feel impressed upon our hearts to do that this morning as we honor God's word. Verse 22, Acts 15. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these things, you will do well. Farewell. So when they went off, and when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with him John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commanded by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Please be seated. Thank you. So in chapter 15, as we started last week, we found that there was this contention in the church, that they were actually Pharisees who believed. Actually, in verse 1 of this chapter, it says, certain men came down and said to the brethren, said to those Gentile believers, "Hey, in order to be completely saved, you must be circumcised and you must keep the law." And there was this discussion and this debate. Paul and Barnabas stood against these men because, as we've shared, it's important to know that it's the grace of God that brings us salvation. Amen? There's nothing that you can do to make yourself more saved. There's nothing that you can do to make yourself less saved. The salvation comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. The work that Jesus did upon the cross, we talked about it last week. When Jesus said it is finished, if we add anything to that, we're saying that it wasn't enough. And for us to know that it is enough that Jesus died on the cross. And so as we look at this chapter, again, I see good, and I also see bad. We see that the church comes together, has the discussion, comes to a resolution, and then they share that with the Gentiles. They take the letter back. And then they encourage the brethren that, listen, you don't have to be circumcised to believe, to be saved. And so there was much encouragement that brought. But then at the end of the chapter, we see this argument between Paul and Barnabas about going on their second missionary journey. So there's good, there's bad, but it's always about giving God the glory. And quite honestly, and I'll say this as we get to the end, but quite honestly, I am so glad to see in the Bible that it doesn't skirt around issues that happen in the church. Because honestly, if the Bible didn't show us that people were people, how hard would it be for us? Such struggle would be, oh, yes, we all want to be moved by the Holy Spirit. We always want to be guided by the Holy Spirit and act godly. But sometimes things happen in life, right? Have you ever had an argument with another believer? Have you ever had a disagreement with someone you love? Of course we have. And it's through that conviction we hope that the Holy Spirit brings us to resolution. And we'll see that as we go through here. So I want to look at some of the good things that happen. Again, in verse 22, it's kind of picking up the story. They had already made the decision, but as we continue this, they're just kind of laying this letter out. And it says in verse 22, "Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren." So as they had this discussion, as Paul and Barnabas come back to Jerusalem and say, listen, this is what's going on in these cities. They're asking them to be circumcised and to keep the law. What's the decision? And so they come to this resolution. Notice it says, "Then it pleased the apostles, the elders, and the whole church." Everyone was in agreement. It's so important in our walk with God to be unified. Wouldn't you agree? to be in unity, to be in agreement with the things that we're called to do as a church, as believers. And that's what I love to see here. We're seeing this unity. It made sense as we came together. If you remember, when Paul and Barnabas brought the dispute, they argued about it for a while until Peter stood up and said, "Wait 1 minute. Don't you remember what happened at Cornelius's house? Don't you remember how I shared the gospel and God gave the Holy Spirit? He gave evidence of what God was confirming. No need for works to be saved." And so it was through that they finally come to this resolution. Do we need to hold this over the Gentiles? No. And I, for one, am very glad of that. That we don't have to keep the law. That the grace of God is sufficient for all of us. Now, let's not take the grace for granted. Let's not abuse the grace that God has given to us. Let us determine in our hearts today to walk holy before God, to be obedient to his word. But aren't you glad that the grace of God is there when you mess up? Aren't you glad the grace of God is there when we make a mistake? As believers, the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." If you have made a mistake in your past, I encourage you, take it to the Lord and give it over to him and be delivered from it. I think there are believers in the church today that are still under bondage for things they've done in the past. Listen, there's consequences to the mistakes that we've made, but there's also forgiveness. And let's walk in that forgiveness. Let's walk in that obedience. And it says, they agreed. And notice it says that it pleased the apostles, the elders, and the whole church. I believe, because it says back in verse 5 of this chapter, but some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, so these were Pharisees that were believers, rose up saying it is necessary to be circumcised. So in this meeting are these Pharisees that believe they should be circumcised. And now it says in verse 22 that they all came to agreement. This speaks of having a teachable spirit. This speaks of these guys were convinced that they felt that it should be circumcised. And they spoke their heart. And that's important, my friends. Speak your heart. Whatever it is in your heart that you feel like God is doing or showing to you, speak that. Don't be afraid to speak it. But also have a teachable spirit in case we're wrong. I can't wait to get to heaven and figure out all the things that we've been talking about down here on earth. And God goes, "You missed it. You didn't have that right." But let's not argue about those things. Let's have a teachable spirit. That's why we come together and look at the Word of God, because this is the truth that we should submit to. And though we may not know every detail of what the Word of God means, man, we want to make sure we keep it within the heart of God. If we believe God is a loving God and cares for us. But have that teachable spirit. Because I believe these men, these Pharisees, they also submitted to the Holy Spirit. I see the Holy Spirit all over this thing. That's why I'm so glad, Blake, that you shared that song. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We have to, as believers, make sure we are inviting the Holy Spirit into everything we do. Not just church, not just spiritual things. Is the Holy Spirit being invited into your decisions in your home? Your decisions in your workplace? Your decisions in your life? Are you asking, "Holy Spirit, give me guidance, give me direction"? I'm thankful that I've, over my years, worked with people who's like, "You know what? We want the will of God. And so we're going to move forward, but we're going to also give God room to move and direct." I think I just shared it this week with a young believer. Don't we believe that God can open doors that no man can shut? And that God can shut doors that no man can open? And why is it we bang on those doors? Why is it we try to force those doors open? If God has a closed door in front of you, then you need to know that God is protecting you from something. So be spirit-led. And I believe that's what we're seeing here. Is they're being spirit-led. They felt convicted in their hearts that they should be circumcised. And they thought they were doing these guys a favor because they want these guys to honor God. Isn't that the truth? And when I or you or we speak to maybe a young believer and say, "This is the way, what the Bible says. This is how we're supposed to live as Christians." I know that's hard for you to understand. See, we live in days where the world should be so different than from the church. But that's not always true. The world lives a certain way, and I think the church sometimes is trying to live that way. I can't tell you the number of times I sit down with young couples and go through premarital counseling. And the first thing I say is you shouldn't be having intimate relationships before your marriage. And I can't tell you the number of couples that look at me like, you're crazy. Not in the days that we live today. And I'm like, wow. I throw this number out there. I don't know. Out of the 25 weddings I've done, I think there were two or three couples that actually were pure before their marriage. Out of 25. And it just breaks my heart, and I'm sure it breaks the heart of God when couples like say, oh no, we live together because we're saving money. I go, listen, I understand all the reasons why you should, but you shouldn't because it doesn't honor God. So there's compromise. But if we're being led by the Holy Spirit, we want to walk in the Spirit. That's unified. And these people had a teachable spirit. This verse came to my came to my mind. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. As I was thinking about this meeting, as I was thinking about this church coming together and having this discussion, I hope at some point they got together and they said, wait a minute, let's make sure that we invite the Lord Jesus here. This is Jesus speaking. Where two or three are gathered in my name. That's the key. If we're coming together in his name, seeking his heart, we got to certainly invite him in and let him lead our meetings and lead our discussions and lead our decisions. That's the key. We're gathering in his name, wanting his will be done, not ours. Whenever I start trying to force my will, I know I'm in disobedience. I got to submit to his leading. And then notice again, it says, Judas and Silas, at the end of that verse, were leading men among the brethren. And actually it says they sent chosen men of their own company. So they were chosen and they were also leading men. Guys, when I read verses like this, I'm so encouraged in the church that we need men and women to rise up in leadership. Judas and Silas were men in the church that were influential, that were spiritual, and that knew the word of God. And we're gonna see later on, they were also prophets, encouraging the church. We need men and women in the church today to rise up and to be leaders. Be leaders. To be seeking God's heart and conveying that truth to others. So I encourage you, seek the Lord. Be a leader. Lead people to truth. Hey, we're all sheep. We're all following the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe he's called leaders in the church to lead. And I believe as we move into this next season, Lord willing, that we move into a new place and have our own church, there's more opportunities to serve. We need more leadership. We need more people to serve. We need more people to help and see the ministry take root. When I go into churches that are larger churches, I see all kinds of different ministries. But you know what else I also see? A lot of hearts of people that are taking lead in those ministries. And so we need that. So leading men, I just think this is so important. And I encourage young men to be leaders of their home. Seeking the will of God's heart. And then they present the letter. And we talked about this last time, so I don't want to go into too many details, but there's some interesting things in this letter. As they write the letter, they tell us who they write it to the brethren who are Gentiles, specifically Gentiles. And this letter was really written to churches that had a mixture of Gentiles and Jews together. That's why there are these things that we want to, you know, abstain from, because we're looking, again, for that harmony in the church. Look at verse 25. Verse 25 says, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Saul. Had they just sent Barnabas and Saul back, and Barnabas and Saul said, no, you don't have to be circumcised, the men that had brought this charge against the church would probably say, yeah, sure. You went back, you talked to them, and then you came back and did your own thing. So they thought it was important to bring other men who could confirm what was being said there. And so that's what they did. Men, notice in verse 26, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that verse. Have we risked our lives for the Lord Jesus? This week I had an opportunity to go to a Bible college in California and teach 35 young kids. Now, they're in the middle of the desert. They're in the middle of nowhere. But there's a town around there. And what I was so appreciated is one of the teachers was there sharing the word of God, and he's encouraging these 35 students who are seeking to serve God in ministry full-time. And you know what he charged these students with? But so convicted my heart, too. He said, guys, you're called to minister the Lord Jesus Christ. You're supposed to minister the gospel of Jesus, and there's a little town around here. How many of you have actually left this Bible to go knock on some doors and ask people if they know the Lord Jesus? I think in the days that we live, we've missed the opportunity of sharing the gospel with other people. We're afraid. Why are we afraid? If someone rejects the gospel, they're not rejecting us. People need to hear the truth of the gospel. And if we're truly going to be those Christians that are living out this truth, we have to be sensitive to the people around us, to remind each other of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 28. And this, to me, is the central focus of this letter. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Good to the Holy Spirit. I love the fact that it says Holy Spirit first. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Listen to me. These elders, these church leaders, got together to discuss this hot topic. They heard testimony from Peter. They heard testimony from Barnabas and Saul. James felt led to say, no, we shouldn't put that burden on them. But what I love is in this meeting, they knew that the Holy Spirit was there with them. It was as if the Holy Spirit was seated at the table directing this meeting. To me, it's a beautiful picture. And I love the fact that it said it seems good to the Holy Spirit first. Like it's not an add-on. It's not an afterthought. It's the Holy Spirit was here with us, and he guided us. Listen, this was a difficult decision. There was a lot of discussion that happened and went on. But when we have these discussions, when we have meetings as believers, maybe you have family meetings, pray, Holy Spirit, be here. Guide and direct us. Because when the Holy Spirit is there, guess what? You're going to know that you're going to be guided and directed by the will of God and by the word of God and by the truth of God. I love that the Holy Spirit was there. It's so important. We must invite the Holy Spirit to sit in on our meetings and our decisions and our everyday. How often are you asking the Holy Spirit to open your mind, open your eyes, and open your ears, and open your heart to what he's doing? How often? I mean, truly. The Holy Spirit is in us, and he's there to convict us of sin. He's there to lead us in righteousness. Are you tapping in to the power of the Holy Spirit? And I'm not talking sensationalism. I'm just talking about the comforter, the counselor. The Holy Spirit is there for us. Whatever it is you may be struggling with, whether it's struggling with anxiety or it's struggling with addiction, the Holy Spirit is there to help and to strengthen us. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, we're just doing it, what? In our own strength. What's your battle right now? What's your fight? Are you trying to fight that fight by your own, on your own? It says the weapons of warfare are not carnal. You can't do it in your own strength. But you can under the anointing and under the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this is not just for ministers. It's not just, it's for all of us. God has given, aren't you glad God's given you the Holy Spirit? Everyone has the Holy Spirit who believes. He's, again, I said, he's our helper. He unifies us to God. And they said, listen, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. I love that. It's perfect unity. When you make a decision, can you say it was supported by God? It was supported either by the word or by the Holy Spirit or by God giving you that conviction. I think for some of us, we add God on after because we want it to sound spiritual. But I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Every single, and I'm not saying just on the big things. You know, on the small things. I've said this before, and I was able to share it with the students at the college. Patience is the weapon that forces deception to reveal itself. There was a saying that a pastor gave to me early on in my ministry. Patience is the weapon that forces deception to reveal itself. We need to be a patient people. We need to wait on God. We need to give God room to work. Don't put a time limit on God, right? If you have a decision, say, God, I want you to be in the decision. That's not to paralyze you and not do anything, but it's to move forward. Say, God, guide my steps. Slow me down if you need to slow me down. Push me along if you need to push me along. God will guide you. And God was guiding them. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. As the Gentiles are reading this letter, they must have been so encouraged to know that God was as central in this decision. And here's the other thing. When God is central in the decision, nobody can argue with you. Think about that. I've told you this story too many times over the years, but I had a worship leader early in my ministry come to me and say, I've been praying for the last 6 months, and I really feel like the Lord is moving us on into another area of ministry. I'm like, well, if that's what God is doing, that's what God, yeah, praise God. I found out weeks later, he said to a friend of mine, Pastor Rob didn't even ask me to stay, didn't even try to get me to stay. And I think, how ridiculous would that be for me to try to beg someone to stay and stay outside of God's will? So again, it's hard to argue when you know God is showing you that. Listen, things happen in our lives that are difficult. People move on, move different direction, but God's call is God's call. And you cannot argue that. I would imagine as this letter was presented to the Gentiles, the Pharisees and those who thought that should be circumcised would have to say, well, if God says no, then no. And that's the truth. When you know that God's in it, you're going to submit to it. That's a teachable spirit when you know God's doing it and God's revealing that to you. We have to submit to it. There's a lot of things I don't do because God showed me not to do them. There's a lot of things I do because God showed me to do them, that they're good. So being led by the Holy Spirit, so important. And again, the letter is in its entirety. But here's the thing I want us to see. It's 2 Corinthians. I know this is a lot of verse, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Look at this verse. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we need, as some others, epistles or letters, that word epistles, of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Look at this, verse 3. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. What I love about this verse is every single one of us in this room who are a child of God, you are a letter of Christ. Just like this letter is being presented to them to give a little bit of instruction to the church and to encourage the church, we're to be a letter of Christ to the world around us. We're to be an encouragement to people around us. I just think that's amazing. Paul is looking at the church saying, listen, do I need a letter of recommendation from you to be a minister? Or do I need to give you a letter of recommendation to minister to you? I mean, you are our epistle written in our hearts. Paul's saying, because of your lives, you're written in our hearts. And he realized that the letter was written by Jesus Christ. I want you to think about your life for a minute. All the things God has shown you and revealed to you and made you the person that you are today. You are a written letter to show to everyone, to minister to other people. As encouraging as this letter is to the Gentiles, is how encouraging we're to be to other people. And if your life was a letter, how would it read? How would it read? If someone had to pick up your letter and begin to read, how would it read? Would it be an encouragement? Would it be a discouragement? Would it be disheartening? Guys, we have an opportunity, every single one of us, to encourage someone else. And Paul said the church at Corinth, you're living epistles. You're living letter written by Christ. I want my life to be at the bottom signed with love, Jesus Christ, and to be a letter of honor. And that unifies us with God, because Paul certainly did minister to these people. He certainly did lead them to Christ, but he knew it was God that did the work. So yes, one day we'll stand before God and God will say, thank you for helping other people come to me. But it's his work through us, right? It's his work through us. Paul knew that. Paul understood that. So the good thing was unity. The second good thing is encouragement. Look at verse 30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Can you imagine these Gentiles as they're waiting for this decision to be made? As they're waiting for Paul and Barnabas to come back with the decision, thinking, man, are they going to say we're not saved because we haven't been circumcised? But no, this letter comes and says, listen, no other burden. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to follow the law. Just do a couple of these things. Notice it said at the end of the letter, if you do these things, you'll do well. It doesn't say salvation. So if you keep these things, it'll be good for you between your Jewish believer friends. And here we see they rejoiced over its encouragement. I think encouragement is such an amazing thing. The importance of encouraging one another. If you see someone down, reach out to them. Say something to them. I had the opportunity this week as I was driving back from the Bible college back to L.A., I called a pastor friend to see how he was doing, because I know their church is going through some stuff, so I just wanted to catch up with him. And at the end of the call, the pastor said to me, he goes, I just want you to know how much I appreciate you calling and seeing how I'm doing. It was a 10-minute phone call that encouraged this person because I reached out to them. It's so encouraging to be able to reach out to people. You don't know who needs that encouragement. Reach out to people. Get involved in people's lives. See how they're doing. And we'll get to that in a minute. But it says here, actually, look at, I'm sorry. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I meant to tell you that. We'll come back to Acts in 1 second. I love these chapters in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, 13, and 14. It's all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And chapter 12 talks about the gifts. Chapter 13 talks about the gift of love. And then chapter 14 is so important. Look at verse 1 in chapter 14. Paul says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies, look at this, speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. I love that. Judas and Silas, it says, and these men were prophets. And we think in the church today, prophecy means foretelling the future. And I feel like the church today kind of holds aside prophecy, when the Bible's very clear. Prophecy is about encouraging one another. We have the Word of God, and we can prophesy and encourage someone with the Word of God, because that's what prophecy today is all about. It's not about telling the future. It's about encouraging one another that God's in control, that they're encouraging people to be faithful in their marriages, to be faithful as workers, to be faithful as a citizen. And it's just to be faithful in love and hope and joy. That's we need in the church today, people that are willing to be prophets. Not necessarily the position of it, but just people that want to encourage others. I know there's people out there that call themselves prophets and, you know, have this special anointing. But here's the reality. Every one of us in this room has the opportunity to be a prophet if we're going to encourage the body of Christ. If we're going to be moved again by the Holy Spirit to be able to speak to someone an encouraging word. And again, it says in verse 3, it's edification and exhortations. Sometimes it's correction. Sometimes it's giving some instructions to people. It's so, so important. I believe there's prophets needed in the church today, men and women who are able to encourage and strengthen the body of Christ. Do you need to be encouraged? Do you need to be strengthened? Of course you do. But I find myself, when I'm encouraging and strengthening someone else, I find God's strength comes upon me. It's a beautiful thing. I have the opportunity right now, I'm doing premarital counseling with this young couple. They're getting married later this year. And I was able to sit down with them and encourage them. We've gone through one session of premarital counseling already. And just encouraging them to get back into fellowship with God. Just ask them, do you go to church right now? Well, no, we don't right now. We really want to, but we don't. And I just encouraged. I said, you need to be in fellowship. Again, it's not about a church attendance. It's about coming into the family of God. It's coming in to worship the Lord. And just to be able to sit down with it for this first meeting, to find out what their history was, and to just say to them, get into fellowship. Get with God. And it was actually amazing to me, just teaching some of the simplistic, foundational truths of the Word of God to them, and their eyes were just lighting up. I didn't know that. And it's like, we need to be around fellowship. We need to be around people that are encouraging one another. And it just brings so much hope. After our meeting, I talked to the wife afterwards, or not the wife, the fiance, afterwards, and they're saying, man, our time with you was so encouraging. It's like, wow. I mean, able to encourage the man to just love on her, you know, to serve, to be servants for each other. Again, simple things that are so hard to do. It's important, guys, to love on each other. To love on each other. If we go back to Acts, verse 31, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, there it is, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. It's so important to me. As these are, they're coming to these believers and they're giving them this letter, hey, you don't need to be circumcised, just enjoy the grace of God. But notice they just didn't leave them there. It goes on and says, however, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. In verse 34, Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Certainly give instruction, certainly encourage, but you got to support that work. You got to walk alongside someone, right? You got to be involved in their life, spending time with them. And that's what Paul and Barnabas, they had the heart to minister. I would ask you to ask God to reveal someone to you that you can come alongside and encourage in their walk with God. It is so exciting for me to be able to watch this couple grow in the Lord. There is nothing better than to witness someone growing in the Lord. Because when you watch someone else grow in the Lord, you will grow in the Lord as well. Verse 33, and after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. So they went back to the church of Jerusalem, and then Paul and Barnabas decided to stay to encourage. So what a good thing, right? So it was good that they had this letter. There was unity in the church. There was good because there was encouragement that was being done in the church. But then look at verse 36 again. This is the bad part. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Before we get to the next verse, Paul's heart was to go and see how the church was doing. It was not enough for Paul just to hear that they were doing well. He wanted to see it. It is, I think, this idea of fellowship, this idea of connection is so critical. Yes, we can text with each other. Yes, we can get a phone call. But sitting down with someone, looking them in the eye, and it's a lot easier for us to, at a distance, to not really tell the truth. But it's hard when you're looking someone in the eye. How is your marriage? How is your walk with the Lord? They can say good, but you can see it all over their face. And I love this about the Apostle Paul, willing to go and see how they are doing. Maybe there's someone you're ministering to right now. And maybe God's going to tell you, you need to go check in on them. You need to go sit down with them. Even that couple that, like I said, I've been doing premarital counseling with, I was able to text him, the man, I was able to text him, hey, did you get your girlfriend any flowers? Again, that reminder. Because, yeah, you know, in a meeting, it's great. Yeah, we're going to, oh, yeah, I need to do that. But then he doesn't do it. And so to be able to remind, to be able to stay, keep that connection, keep that place. I wish it would stay there. But look at verse 37. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them, look at how he describes it, the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Verse 39, then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Let me say this. This whole half of the chapter, we've been talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's influence in decisions. Do you think the Holy Spirit was present during this sharp contention? Probably not. It just blows my mind that they go from something that was so spiritual, so encouraging, so unified, and then right on the heels of that, hey, let's go back and visit some of the churches. And Barnabas wants to bring his cousin John Mark, who did abandon them on the previous journey. And Paul says, don't want him there. You know what's so funny about the flesh? Don't we want to know who was right and who was wrong? Was Paul right for not taking John Mark? Was Barnabas right, the son of encouragement? I mean, Barnabas' heart, even if he wasn't a cousin, he's like, give a guy a second chance, right? Everybody makes mistakes. We all want second chances. Man, I want 10,000 second chances, Lord. But Barnabas says, no, I want to bring John Mark. And Paul says, it's not going to be good. I'll submit to you. I think they both made mistakes. And it certainly didn't work it out. You know, when the Bible says, then the contention became sharp. This wasn't just a simple disagreement. This isn't let's agree to disagree. This was, they, thank God the Bible doesn't record it, but it was not probably not a good conversation. But don't we believe that God works all things out for good? And I know many of us will look at this and say, oh yeah, but now God's got two teams going out. Don't let us not ever look at this and go, yep, sometimes arguments are good. Our job, the Bible says we should have the ministry of reconciliation. Paul and Barnabas were buddies. They were brothers. They are brothers in the Lord. And for some reason, this contention, and I don't subscribe to the fact that God allowed it to happen so he could separate it. I think God looked down and go, I shouldn't have done that. That's not acting godly. So we can't look at this and go, oh, yeah, sometimes we're going to have an argument and it's a good thing. No. Our job is to reconcile. And I believe they did. I believe they did reconcile. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul later says to Timothy, only Luke is with me, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. So there's obviously something that changed in the Apostle Paul. And that's the thing I think that's important, is that when we make a mistake, that we let the Holy Spirit minister to us, that we let the Lord change our hearts. I believe Paul and Barnabas reconciled later on. The interesting thing is we don't hear about Barnabas much anymore in the book of Acts. And that's not to say that he was wrong and God just took him out of the picture, but he certainly did use the Apostle Paul. It's our job to make sure there's reconciliation in our relationships as best we can. I think it's a very mature thing for as believers for us to go up to people and say we made a mistake. You know? I mean, okay, they had a sharp contention, they decided to go different ways, but I would sure love them to hug each other before they went and pray for each other. The Bible doesn't say that, but let's make sure that that's our hearts, is that we want others to be encouraged. Which reminds me of a conversation I had with someone just this morning. A little bit of a tension, but we worked it right out. You know? My feelings got hurt. I got a little bit upset. And this brother realized it and came up to me and said, man, I'm sorry. I said, yeah, I know. I took it wrong. It's reconciliation is such an important thing. that we stay true, because we want God to be able to use us and work through us, and he can't work through contention. He can't work through this sin that can be there, right? It's Matthew, one last verse I want to show you. I mean, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, if you're coming to God, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. It's like coming before God and say, Lord, I just want to bless you. I just thank you for the... And God's like, wait a minute. There's something not right between you and someone else. Before you can come to me, go and reconcile with your brother. Or at least do everything in your power to make sure you on your, to make it right. We've all gone to people and said, man, what I did the other day was totally wrong. I apologize. And they might go, I don't even know what you're talking about. I didn't even notice it. In fact, I did that with a couple, a few months ago, I had said something jokingly with them. And as I was driving home, I was just so convinced, like, that was not right. I shouldn't have joked about that. So I texted them both of me, I'm so sorry I said that. They're like, didn't even pay attention to it. But you know, the important thing is being moved by the Spirit and to apologize when apology needs to be taken. Certainly God did use it. Certainly God did have two teams going out. In fact, if you see the rest of these verses, verse 38, but Paul insisted that they should not take the one who had departed from them at Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And this is to me what I see as we conclude this whole thing, the good, the bad, and the glory. There was a lot of good things that happened. There was unity in the church. There was encouragement that was sent when the letter came. There was some contention between Paul and Barnabas. But God's work continued to go out. The enemy didn't get the victory because the work didn't stop. And that really has to always be the final thing. That no matter what happens, the work needs to continue. God's word continued to got to go out. God continued to get the glory as the church continued to grow. They worked through some issues. And that's the thing for all of us, guys. Let's work together. Let's be unified. Let's encourage each other. And when there's difficulties, let's reconcile those differences. Because we want God to get all the glory. We want to be able to walk away and say, Lord, we want your name to be blessed. We want your word to be magnified. We want your son to take central stage. That the focus is upon Jesus. I think if we work on these things this week, maybe there's even someone that God has put on your heart this morning. You know what? I need to go and apologize to someone or say something to someone. Or maybe there's someone in your life that you could encourage. Look for those opportunities. There's good, there's bad, but there's always God's glory. And if we can focus on giving God all the glory, I think everything will work out just fine. Let's pray.